Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Stone Guardian.
Welcome to There's a Rock for That. I am your host, Mary Brown, and There's a Rock for That is a show on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. There's a Rock for That is sponsored by Movie Reviews and More and iTube 247 out of Franklin, Tennessee. Be sure to check out the really cool YouTube channel for Movie Reviews and More. They have so many cool interviews, and I'm on there a couple times too. All right, so how about this? We are kicking off the month of August. August 2020. This is exciting. It is exciting. And I did post a card of the day in our Psychic Talk Radio Network Facebook group. If you haven't joined our Facebook group yet, you need to join it. It's really cool. I post a card of the day in there every day. And you can easily get to that by going to our website, going to psychictalk.net/Facebook, and that will take you right over to the group, or you can look for Psychic Talk Radio on Facebook, and we have a group and a page. You want to like the page and join the group, and chose for today. It comes from the Crystal Grid Oracle by Nicola McIntosh, and that is, I think, Rock Pool Publishing is the one that put out that deck. It's a beautiful card deck, oracle card deck, and the stone for today is all about inspiration. The stone, the card of the day is all about inspiration, and this particular deck features grids, crystal grids that you can create, and you can kind of look at the card and see how they have all the stones laid out. And maybe that will give you some inspiration to create your own crystal grid. The center of this grid on the card is the chrysanthemum stone, which is a beautiful stone if you're not familiar with them. And the thing that I thought was really interesting is that it is a card number 23, which is a 5 if you reduce it in numerology. And, you know, so that's a day when, you know, 5s to me, you know, represent, you know, these can be challenging days. You may be dealing with conflict, and there's nothing that helps us combat conflict and challenges like inspiration. So it just kind of stood out to me that it's like, oh, okay, that's a 5 number connected with this idea of inspiration. And I don't think we often think of it in that way. You know, if we can find a way to get in touch with inspiration or find things that inspire us. And I think a big part of being inspired is being open to being inspired. So, you know, see what inspires you today. Try to find your inspiration. All right, so the topic for today I'm really excited about. We're going to be talking about bones and stones and adding fossils to our crystal collection, because I think that it's not all the time that us rock hounds and crystal keepers are thinking about fossils. We're not thinking about them in connection. You know, there's a few possibly, you know, that come up and that we think about, oh, yeah, that's great, like petrified wood. And, you know, that's one that's pretty common. Probably a lot of people have petrified wood pieces. If you were like me as a kid, I was always fascinated by the idea. It's like, because it has such a dramatic name, it's like petrified wood, you know, what scared it? And if you've ever gone to the petrified forest in Arizona and seen those big logs of petrified wood, it's really kind of a really fascinating thing. But I've been fascinated with fossils my whole life. I grew up outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and one of my very favorite places on earth was the Carnegie Mellon Museum of Natural History. You know, you could walk in there, and they had a big, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex fossil all put together. And I just loved it. I just found it fascinating. I was fascinated by dinosaur bones and all kinds of and petrified wood and all kinds of stones. And I've remained that way my whole life. This is a source of inspiration for me when I really think about it. So before we get too far into the topic of fossils, I want to remind everybody that this is a live call-in show. If you would like to call in to talk about your crystal and fossil collection, or if you would like to ask a question and get a mini reading, I'm using a new crystal tarot deck that I'm crazy over the moon about, that I will talk about in just a few minutes as well, because I can't help mentioning it. I'm so in love with it. I thought, oh, I'll use this on the show today. If there's any questions that need divination, but yeah, if you want to call in, the call-in number is 714-816-4628. The number again is 714-816-4628. And you have to remember to press 1 on your dial pad, because that raises your hand and lets me see on the switchboard that you would like to be on air. And there's room in the queue right now. I'm going to get into the little bit into the topic, and then we'll start taking some calls. So, and I'll just hang in there. Don't hang up. Don't hang up, because I'm coming to you. All right. So, why in the world, if you're somebody who's into crystals, and maybe you're somebody who's interested in crystal healing, or even using crystals for divination, why would you want to add fossils into the mix? Like, isn't that a totally separate thing? What does that have to do with being into crystals? Well, look, you know, most fossils, right, are created when the biological or organic material of a plant, an insect, an animal is replaced by either chalcedony or opal or other minerals. And this is something that happens over millennia. The mineral takes on the form of the biological matter within the surrounding rock or within the layers of sediment, and can form these really awesome patterns. If you've ever looked at like polished petrified wood, you see like some really cool patterns where the material of the wood, the organic wood material, has been replaced with like opal, chalcedony. You see these beautiful colors in it that you really kind of don't expect to see normally, right? And there's all kinds of fossils out there. Amber is a stone that, I guess we could call it a stone, right? You know, it's that idea of fossilized sap, right? And often when you get a piece of amber, like the best pieces of amber, right, are the ones that have like an insect stuck in them, an ancient insect when you think about it. And petrified wood, like I said, sand dollars are an example of a fossil. Ammonites or another kind of fossil, Orthoceras. I mean, there's dinosaur bones. There's so many different types of fossils. On the page for the show and on our advertisement for today's episodes, you see a picture that has some fossils. Those are like the fossils that I have. So the big piece, and the picture was lightened up a bit, so it's not the exact color, but the biggest piece is a piece of fossilized coral that I have, and then I love it. It's just this big chunk. And, you know, it's just fascinating to me. I love looking at that. I have some ammonites in the picture. I have some pieces of petrified wood. The one thing I forgot to add to the mix was, you know, some of my amber pieces. But so all of these different, and dinosaur bones. You know, there's all these different types of fossils that you can easily add to your collection. Well, most of them are pretty accessible. It's really easy to find ammonites. You know, not so easy to find really high quality pieces of amber, but you can find little pieces of amber. Once you get like the really, you know, nice, clear, beautiful ones that have insects in them, then they can get a bit expensive and they're harder to find. Ammonites are easy to find too. If you're not sure what an ammonite is, it's that thing that you've probably seen them. They look like spirals kind of. And what they are, you know, the name comes from the kind of Greek and Egyptian deity Ammon, right? And Ammon was associated with rams, and so there's this idea that ammonites can assist you when you want to charge ahead, and they can help you, as all fossils can. They help you delve into the past. And so when you think about it, you have something that took millennia to form and sometimes millions of years to form when you're looking at fossils, especially when you're looking at dinosaur bones, that kind of thing. You know, you have that opportunity to connect to the past, the ancient Earth, and especially if it's an animal like a Orthoceras, which is a ancient ancestor of, you know, what we know today is like squids in the sea, you know, there you have access, and you have an opportunity to like not only tangibly connect by holding it or putting it in your hand or carrying it around, you're tangibly connecting to the ancient Earth, to the past. Another great way is to meditate with a fossil. And, you know, the one thing that I would say is this. I do feel like if we're going to enter into either meditation or shamanic journeying with ancient stuff, then we need to approach it in kind of a common sense sort of way. And to me, what is a common sense sort of way to do shamanic journeying with an ancient fossil is to enlist the help of one of your guides, a guide that you trust, or a power animal that you trust, or even an angel that you trust too, like your guardian angel. It's always accessible. So, you know, because the truth is like none of us were around in ancient times, right? And so we know very little about what the Earth was like then. We know very little about what consciousness was like. What was the consciousness of these animals, of these living creatures that have now become fossilized? And if we want to learn more and we want to connect to that time, sometimes it helps to, you know, have a little bit of protection, have a spirit companion that's on your side. Okay, so just throwing it out there, there's one idea at least. And, you know, some of these other fossils that we probably, you may even have in your crystal collection and not even realize it, or ones that we don't necessarily think of as fossils. In the picture I took, I have at the very bottom of it, and I don't know if it got cut off in the advertisings or not, but the very bottom of it, I have a fulgurite. And if you don't know what a fulgurite is, it's a tube. It's this kind of stone tube, right, that's naturally formed when lightning strikes the earth, often when lightning strikes soil or sand, and the sand, the silicate, and the ground crystallizes. It like immediately forms together, and usually in the shape of a tube because lightning's going through it. So some people refer to it as frozen lightning. And the thing that's interesting is we don't have a method for dating fulgurites. Ability that if you find a fulgurite, that this could actually be very, very old. And we can think of it as fossilized, you know, because things become fossilized usually over time and under a lot of pressure, right? The pressure of the layers above it in the earth, etc. And Sorry, I had to hit the cough button. And so, you know, I include them because, well, you know, we don't really know if it's a fossil or not, but it is certainly cool. And fulgurites are definitely fascinating stones. I might do an episode on those sometimes and share a technique for working with them with you. But that'll be for a future episode. Another fossil that probably many of you have and don't realize it is jet. And I kind of wanted to focus on jet because it has a really, really rich history. So jet is, it's a black stone. You may or may not be all that familiar with it. And what that is, you can think of it as fossilized coal. It's lignite, L-I-G-N-I-T-E, which is a type of coal. And of course, because of that, is mostly, you know, it's made of carbon, and it's been compressed over time. And really, jet just might be, probably ranks right up there with amber as probably the world's first gem material that was used as a talisman. You know, we can find jet ornaments in Paleolithic caves. They've been found in Paleolithic caves in Switzerland and France, and even in the ancient ruins of the Pueblo Indians. And early fragments that they found of it are round. They've been drilled through, like they, you know, been, you know, for stringing, like they've been worn or hung up somewhere. Be kind of a bit of a soft gem, soft enough to be shaped and carved with flint tools. And there's evidence of the mining of jet found in England, which dates back to 1500 BC. So it really may be like the first one that was used for talismans. And the thing that's fascinating about it is because it's really rich. The name for it, the ancient name for jet was gagates, which originated from the Greek word for this fabled river in Lycia. And from that, the name evolved through Latin into Old French, jet, and next thing you know, we're just calling it jet. And the history is really, really fascinating. And way back when, the ancient physician Galen, he was searching for that mythical river Gagates. He didn't find the river, but he found all these deposits of jet on the eastern shore of the Dead Sea. And he recorded that he used the fragments of jet he found as a cure for swelling of the knees and also burned it. They used to burn gems and fragments of gems. And he said that it was slow burning, but it was that burning of jet is actually one of the earliest Greek it's mentioned in one of the earliest Greek medical texts, and that was written about 2nd century BC by Nicander, and, you know, prescribed the fumigation of bedrooms with the smoke of jet to remove the plague. Isn't that crazy? Cure for the Black Death would naturally be affected by a black stone. So they kind of use that sort of idea of sympathetic magic. It's like, okay, we've got this Black Death is what they called the plague back then. This is 2nd century BC again. And so if we burn this black stone and fumigate all our rooms with it, this is going to remove it. Who knows? Who knows? You know, because it's like we find these ancient medical texts that'll have references to all these ways that stones are used in, but I don't think ever do we find, the people that were having these, different practices used. We don't find them writing about whether it was effective or not, right? Because again, you know, it gets into this ancient times and not everybody being literate back then. But I did find that interesting because, you know, we kind of have a plague ourselves going on right now. So maybe jet wouldn't be such a bad stone to kind of add to our collection. And it's a fossilized coal, once again. And, you know, the history of Czech goes on. Our favorite Roman historian, Pliny the Elder, listed a whole bunch of medicinal uses for jet. Again, he worked with the fumes of burning jet to cure hysteria, for one thing. And also that it would, and this is interesting, that it would reveal epilepsy, like latent epilepsy. And I thought about that. Okay, it's like, okay, so the person, you'll know the person has epilepsy, you burn the jet, and then they start, you know, maybe seizing or something like that. And so it did make me wonder, like, did the burning of that jet, inhaling those fumes, maybe come sometimes cause seizures rather than revealing that someone had epilepsy? It's really hard to know when you get into a lot of these ancient medical texts and lapidaries and stuff. Sometimes it seems like, well, are they causing side effects, or are they actually revealing things that weren't apparent? Just seems odd. And also, and it doesn't go into much explanation, but Pliny the Elder also mentioned that the fumes of burning jet acted as a test for virginity in some way. Because, you know, back then they were all worried about everybody's virginity. Well, just women's, we know that. And then jet was also used in a powdered form where they would crush it up, mix it with wine, because it was supposed to relieve toothaches. Well, luckily we don't have to do that today. We have other ways to relieve toothaches, but, you know, it's worth mentioning. The other thing that I found really interesting in my research on jet is that it, you know, found favor in the early Catholic Church as a material for crosses and rosaries, and prayers recited on those black jet rosaries were thought to be particularly effective in driving away bad dreams and hallucinations. Because, you know, at that time they thought, you know, the bad dreams and hallucinations were brought about by the devil and his black angels and a black stone due to the power, again, of sympathetic magic. It was believed to be most effective in counteracting those dark forces. And St. Hilda, abbess of the northeastern English monastery of Stronishath, way back in 654 to 680, was known to use a jet rosary. And the beads had been mined from jet found, you know, near the monastery where she was. And, you know, it's really interesting because that same monastery later became known as Whitby Abbey, and jet is found nearby. It's known as Whitby Jet, and that is still the case today. But, you know, even through like the 18th century, jet from Whitby Abbey became very popular for using in religious articles, again, like rosaries and crosses. And probably the greatest era of popularity for jet was in the late 19th century. It was during the reign of Queen Victoria in England and even into the early 20th century. And this is something, I don't know if you guys are familiar or not, if you've ever heard of mourning jewelry. I have a friend in Los Angeles who loves to collect antique mourning jewelry. And this was, you know, for example, you know, Queen Victoria, you know, was a widow for the last 40 years of her life, and she wore jet as a sign of her long and continual mourning. And as a result, that's when it became really popular and used in mourning jewelry and favored as the jewel of widows, right? And, you know, jet continues to be used today. A lot of modern crystal healers say that it's great for increasing fertility and relieving problems with reproductive organs, those kind of things. So it's a really fascinating stone. I'm calling it a stone, but it actually is a fossil. And it's also very accessible, easy to find. You can find it online, right? Because a lot of our a lot of our favorite crystal shops aren't quite open right now, but there's a lot of really decent sellers on Amazon. And, you know, I can vouch for some of those if you guys have any questions later. Like, have you ever bought from this person? You know, shoot me a message on Facebook Messenger, and I'll let you know or recommend some that I have had great experiences with. So I just wanted to kind of talk about that because I think it's, you know, it's easily overlooked that that is actually fossilized coal. And, you know, we get it sometimes sort of what I find with black stones, right, especially jet, obsidian, black tourmaline, is that I get sent pictures a lot of times of black stones that people have, and they're like, can you identify this? And I can say that for some reason the black stones are very difficult sometimes to identify just from a photograph. I usually have to, like, really have it in my hand and examine it. Obsidian, you know, volcanic glass, you know, you can tell, you know, it's really pretty obvious. Jet, highly polished jet, can kind of look a bit like obsidian. Okay, so you can get those two confused. Black tourmaline is easy to pick out because it's got that sort of, you know, kind of flaky tourmaline thing. So that looks different. And even polished, it's still kind of dull looking. So, so you want to make sure that if you do get jet in your collection and you have other dark stones, especially like obsidian, you know, label it, put it in a separate location so you don't get it mixed up, and then try to get somebody to figure out what it is through just a picture over the internet, because that's kind of hard to do sometimes. Sometimes it's easy, but not all the time. Okay, and we're going to start taking some calls here. It is the bottom of the hour, or the halfway mark through the show. So we do want to take a look, before we go to calls, we want to take a look at what is coming up on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. We have some great shows, as always, this week. And our next show is going to be Monday, August 3rd, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, the Wisdom of the Soul show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And that will be followed, our next show's on Wednesday, August 5th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's a Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance show with your host, Catherine Hahn, and she's starting a new series for August called Trust Yourself, and that will be followed on Friday, August 7th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, by the Doctors Are In show with your host, Dr. Rose Wilkerson and Dr. Dex Carlisle, and they'll be doing open lines and taking your calls, doing some for some tarot mini readings and life coaching. And then I'll be back next Saturday, August 8th, with my co-host, Dr. Dax Carlisle, for the Tarot Today radio show. And we're just going to have fun next Saturday. We're just going to do open lines and tarot mini readings and kind of just shoot the breeze. If you have any tarot questions or anything you want to talk about, give Dax and I a call next Saturday. And then the last one for this week is going to be Sunday. It's another episode of Magic Universe with our host, Sharona Rapsick, and she has a special guest on, holistic life and business coach, Patricia Calabrese. So that should be a lot of fun. And again, if you didn't catch all that and you're wondering, like, what did she say is coming up on Thursday or Wednesday? There's nothing on Thursday, but Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Saturday, Sunday. You want to go to psychictalk.net/upcoming. All our shows are listed there, and you can find them easily. You could even bookmark that page. All right, so let's see. We've got a whole bunch of people on the switchboard here. So let's go to our first call here. This is Lisa in Arizona. Lisa, are you there? Hello? Hello, Lisa. Lisa? I'm not hearing her. Oh, caller, are you there? Lisa in Arizona. Okay, I'm going to put Lisa back on hold here. I don't know what's going on. I talked to her earlier when I was screening the call. She called in on Skype. I don't know if that makes a difference. I know they were having all kinds of issues on Blog Talk earlier this week. I hope that's not the case now. So we are going to try. We'll circle back around to Lisa. And in the meantime, we will try our next caller. And that is area code 610. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Shayna, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Shayna from Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I grew up in Pennsylvania. What do you want to talk about today, Shayna?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, as far as my love life, like, is me and my partner going to become permanent again?
To become permanent again.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like get back together, or, you know, make a commitment, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Because we've been talking, and I'm just wondering.
Right. Okay. So you were together, you're not together, but you've been talking, and you're thinking, something going to happen. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to use this fabulous Crystal Power Tarot deck, which is just gorgeous. I'm so excited. You're the first reading I've done with this deck. I just got it. I'm so excited. So let's
great.
Look at this. Oh, so beautiful. Wow. Okay. All right. Okay, so here's what we got going on. The central focus card is the Ten of Cups. We want to see the Ten of Cups when we talk about relationships and that idea. Getting back together, look, you know, one, you guys are talking again. I think there's a lot of feeling still there, obviously, with the Ten of Cups. It's at the center. But I do feel like there's still some things that we got to work on, you know, for this to be something that, you know, really comes together and has a staying power with it. And, you know, one of the things that I would say with some of the other cards coming up here, because we've got some swords cards too. We've got the Eight of Swords. We have the Seven of Swords. And we have the Emperor and the Hermit card. So with the Hermit card, it's saying like, okay, we really need to think about this. And to be able for this to last, it's got to become stabilized. And for this to become a stable relationship, we've got to be honest with each other. And so that's something that I think, it's like we've got to get, you know, the cards are saying like, you know, yeah, this can work, this can happen, but we've got to level with each other. We've got to lay literally, you know, no pun intended, all the cards on the table. The feelings are there. Love is not the problem here. It's just, are we communicating, fully with each other? Are we being honest about what's going on and what we're thinking, how we're feeling, that kind of thing? And also, it's got to be, equal. There's got to be balance here. They can't be just one person gets their way all the time. And with the Emperor energy, the Hermit energy, you know, is that something where, you know, you've dealt with any of these things in the past in this relationship? You know, you've got to make sure your voice is heard as well, and that we're being open and honest and forthcoming and not avoiding talking about things that might be difficult. Because, you know, if we can get on the same page with each other, we can deal with things that are difficult. But if we try to hide them, like the Seven of Swords suggests, that makes it really difficult to solve any problems. So that's what I'm getting. I feel like there's a lot of potential, but it really is kind of resting on this idea of, like, you know, being able to, like, openly and you know, just honestly communicate with each other, and also, you know, have that balance where it's not just one person calling the shots. So I hope that helps you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for calling. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. Thanks. Okay, we are going to circle back around here to Lisa in Arizona and see if she can hear us now. Okay, Lisa in Arizona, are you there? Hello? Hello? Lisa, can you hear me? Color, are you there? No. Okay, Lisa, we're going to put you back on hold, and if we have time, circle back around to you. Maybe third time's the charm today. And, you know, really it could be something going on with Skype calls as well. So hard to say. Again, you know, they had a lot of technical difficulty this week on Blog Talk Radio. I'm just going to reshuffle this gorgeous Crystal Power Tarot deck. I will talk about this deck if I have time after I take this next call, because you guys, this is gorgeous. It's a great deck. Okay, so our next call is coming from area code 440. Caller, are you there? 440.
Yes. Hi. My name is Patricia.
Patricia, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ohio.
Ohio. We're just doing that whole East Coast thing. We just had Pennsylvania. We just have Ohio now. What do you want to talk about today, Patricia?
I'd like to really get to the root and resolve. I've experienced a great portion of my life, I'm talking about years, just not, say if I'm on a job or just when being in the community or whatever, any type of, say, social gathering. And I've dealt with a lot of criticism and judgment. And I also, and I've had persons when I've gone to my local library or any of them watch me. And I've had some
like
particular experience.
So you feel
you know, they're watching me.
Right. And you feel like they're judging you with that while they're observing you?
And I'm trying to go over this lightly because it's a lot of baggage. But also, and in this town of Cleveland, particularly, just being a lot of people, I don't know many of these people, these strangers, you know, being confrontational. And I'm going to give you a couple examples. I went on a temp assignment because I needed the money, and I certainly didn't want to leave my home. This Minuteman, these agencies, and basically they pay most of these jobs minimum wage, and you either work in some manufacturing company or, you know, factory or, you know, assembling, whatever. And I went Wednesday and Thursday. And I needed the money. That was the only reason. And I've been applying to other jobs and nothing. And so this little supervisor, I know I've worked long enough to know when people are being nasty to me, you know, being sarcastic and so on. So anyway, and she's, you know, giving me directions into what to do now. Yeah, she's worked with several other people and she works, you know, as well. So when I run out of things to do, you know, I'm asking, you know, the other workers, and it's this energy, you know, this standoffish energy, like, you know, you know, it's just really what comes under the criticism, judgment, or they don't want to deal with me. And then of course with this COVID, now obviously with anybody in person, if I don't have to, let's be.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, sitting at this little workstation there. And now she had told me, you know, move down to the edge because I don't want you to get in trouble. And, you know, and I moved down. And so now I'm moving around just like the other worker, you know, bending, stooping, blah, blah. And then she comes over. Now I'm going to speed this up. Oh, okay. God, what did she say? Oh, and she said something, and I just got loud. I said, what is the issue?
Right. What is your problem?
Messing with me. Right. Oh, it's because, and then this other worker's talking about COVID, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, give me a break. Now she runs over to the other little supervisor, and I could see them talking at the other end of the room, and I knew what was going to happen. They had this minute, this what they call a DNR, do not return, and it's like I was not going to return anyway. And, of course, Minutemen, they don't care. And so, but that's been happening, you know, basically all my life, be it, like I said, on a job, or it's not as if I really haven't wanted to, you know, like I said, it's a life's history, ancestral wounds and stuff like that. But I
past
just really, to see when people are making a snap judgment on me for no reason.
Yes.
See, if I'm going to the library, you know, and it's a, you know, one of these little police officers, you know, and I'm like in close to the back of the library, whispering in my phone, but you're in my face. Oh, you can't be on your phone. Blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, people are walking in, adults and children, and laughing and, you know, speaking loud, but not once did he stop them. See? And it's things like this. And,
right.
I just need to know how to
clear
it. Continue to shield and protect myself. But see, you know, if I'm dealing with persons who are going to be messing with my money, and yes, I'm working on, you know, other ways to get money. I've put up a, you know, for one of the services, I started really getting training on speaking and writing. I mean, writing, content writing, but also copywriting, but also another service. And now I'm just focused, you know, I'm learning as I'm going so that I can get customers. And of course, you know, that's taking time. But in the meantime, you know, I need to.
What can I do?
And that's the only way I can work. And because, then once, trust me, and I've been wanting to leave here and sooner, but I'm going to leave next spring because obviously with the COVID. And I know I'm going on the Pacific Northwest. But I want to get my monies together, and I need to, and that's another thing. It was always difficult to find these jobs here. So obviously, I'm focused on working remote.
Right.
I'd like to get some side gigs going. But yeah, like I said, this energy, you know, and then whatever it needs to be resolved, whatever it is. Because, like I said, I just don't want to deal with a lot of people.
Right. Okay. So, look, you know, there's a few things, you know, while you're talking, I'm, you know, just kind of asking for, you know, what's some guidance for you and kind of what's going on, because you mentioned the root of the thing. The one thing that's pretty kind of interesting to me is right as you were saying something like, I know what they're saying, I drew the High Priestess card. I'm like, wow, okay, she does know what they're saying, you know, because that is a card of intuition, okay? And so I think that part of what's going on here is you're sensitive, you know, not only, I mean, you're noticing people observing you. There's maybe other people that would, like, walk around and not even have a clue, but you're feeling that energy. You may be an empath. You may be intuitive. I think that you are both of these things. And I think that that is part of the issue here is because you're aware of this stuff, whereas, like, somebody who's not as sensitive, not as intuitive, not as empathic might not even pick it up. It might be just like, do-do-do-do-do, you know, like have no clue. One stone that really, really stands out as a healing stone for you is malachite. And Malachite's just like, bing, bing, you know, she should look and see if I can help her. I think I can help her. So Malachite is a beautiful healing stone, green and dark green striped stone, gorgeous. Get yourself it's easy to find, inexpensive, get a cheap piece of tumbled malachite and start carrying that around with you. Also, what can you do about that energy that you feel coming from other people that you don't want, especially on the job? There are some techniques. Crystals can definitely be helpful. Shielding crystals like the dark stones like jet or obsidian or black tourmaline is terrific for blocking out and absorbing the negative energies so it doesn't impact you. But there's also a technique that I have found useful because I've worked in jobs like that where you just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just being invaded by these people and their energy. And what that is like you decide what's going to be the most comfortable tool for you, but you can... And it has to do with a physical thing. Like you either cross your fingers, cross your ankles, cross your legs, cross your arms, you know. But with the idea and the intention that, okay, I'm blocking that. That's not going to come into my own personal energy space. I'm blocking that person out. They can be outside of my personal energy space, say whatever they want, act however they want, be a fool, whatever. But, you know, you're not going to get to me to the point that I have to carry this around. You know, that just block them, cross your fingers, cross your ankles, cross your legs, whatever's going to be more comfortable. Sometimes it's just like, you know, crossing our arms when we're standing up talking to somebody. It says like, hey, guess what? You don't get to me. I'm not going to allow you to get to me anymore. Now, let's look at this problem, though, because you said it's been a lifelong issue, right? And the reason I think that it's been a lifelong issue is I've got charts here indicating that this is a past life pattern, okay? So how do we clear that, right? What do we do with that? You know, we're talking about fossils today on this show, and fossils being a great way to connect with the past, and, you know, crystals are great to connect with the past. You know, it doesn't have to be a big, expensive crystal. You can use something like just a clear quartz or smoky quartz, especially is great for clearing past life issues because they're programmable. But I would also say, you know, I don't know if you work with angels or not, but everybody has a guardian angel. You know, it doesn't matter if you're religious or not religious, but call upon your guardian angel. You don't have to know its name. You can ask its name if that's important. But ask the angels to work with you to clear any negativity from a past life that's affecting you in this life. You can call upon Archangel Michael to cut the cords to any negative past life experience. And you might, you know, look into ancestral healing. Now, this isn't something where you have to hire a really expensive practitioner or shaman and pay them a ton of money. You can learn a lot about it on your own. You can, of course, you know, if somebody says they specialize in that, but go on YouTube and look up some things on ancestral healing, healing our lineage and stuff. There's a great book called Ancestral Medicine that would teach you everything you need by Daniel Four F. O-O-R, but even just asking your angels to help you with that as well. There is one other thing here that's kind of interesting that came up, and, you know, it's talking about diversity. So is this at all, do you think that some of what you're experiencing with, you know, coworkers or different people, is this, you know, could this be connected to people that have problems dealing with diversity, you know, that aren't accepting of others, that aren't like them? So that's just something to kind of think about and kind of think like, okay, you know, I know I want to make a move in the future. You said like next spring or something. Maybe look at job situations, job environments, even, you know, areas to live in where there's more diversity and people are more modern people, I guess is a way to put it. I don't know what Cleveland is like exactly. I grew up near Pittsburgh, so we weren't big fans of Cleveland, you know, but that was all football stuff. But look, I feel like you can make the changes that you want here. We get the High Priestess, we get the Magician card. And we get the Page of Swords, which is all about, like, having that idea of, like, okay, I'm not going to let all of these things, like, stop me from looking for new experiences, from being curious and looking for better, exciting opportunities. So those are, I know I just gave you a whole bunch of stuff to think about here, but
yeah,
Malachite is the stone that stands out. I do think this is
okay.
a past life pattern that you're dealing with, and I want
okay.
you to look into that
right.
and work with your angels.
All
okay,
right.
So thank you so much for calling in. I hope that's helpful.
Okay, well, can I ask you, with these particular stones, I have a chronic
yeah.
condition, and I don't want to go into detail, but
yeah, that's fine.
I shouldn't wear these stones on my person, correct?
Skin
and.
You know what I would do is I'm not recommending wearing them on your person. I would say the malachite to carry in your pocket if you can, or in your purse,
okay.
or you know, something like that.
Okay.
You can wear
okay.
it if you want to, but like malachite in particular is one stone that I don't recommend for jewelry, even though it's beautiful. But I'm talking
okay.
about
all right.
You know, having a stone as like sort of an ally for you. So having it nearby.
All right. Okay. All right.
You know, and you can meditate with
well,
it as
I'll
well.
Take the suggestion.
All
okay.
right.
All right.
Thanks. You know, we do this show the first Saturday of every month. Call us back sometime and let us know how things are progressing, and we can check in and do another
mm-hmm.
reading and see, you know, where we're at. Okay. But remember.
All right. Thank you very much.
You do need to shield your yourself, you know, whether you do that by
yes.
crossing your arms, whatever, because you are sensitive. You are intuitive. I think you're empathic as well. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You're welcome. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, where are we? Let's see if Lisa circled back around yet. Oh, no, she didn't. She tried. I saw her pop up in the queue a few times. And got a few minutes left. I do want to tell you guys about this wonderful new tarot deck I'm working with today that I'm crazy about. And if you're somebody who's crazy about crystals and into tarot, I do want you to consider and check out, I'm going to do a video on my YouTube channel, which is actually the Tarotdactyl channel on YouTube, TarotDactyl. I'm going to do a walkthrough and a short review of this deck, because I feel like it hasn't really been given that fair of a shake on Amazon and some other sites. The back design is absolutely gorgeous. It's called the Crystal Power Tarot by Jane Wallace. Now, what's really unique to me about this deck, I have a few crystal tarot decks, and the reason I, you know, couldn't just stop at one is because I just haven't found the crystal deck, tarot deck in particular, that I felt really was what I was looking for. I'm looking for, like, the ultimate, right? And this may very well be the ultimate that I've been able to find so far. And the reason is because every single card of the 78 tarot cards, every single card has a crystal on it, and sometimes they're the same crystal. Like when I did that, when I was pulling cards just now for that caller, Patricia from Ohio, what I noticed is several of the cards that I pulled had the stone malachite on it. So to me, that is really helpful because it's like, yeah, there's a few crystal tarot decks out there that have stones associated with each of the cards, but I don't know. They're not always all that useful. And a lot of times they're just kind of obvious, you know, connections. Like sometimes I feel like they're not very inspired in the choices of the stone associations. A lot of times I feel like they're just going with what has come before in books and stuff on crystals and tarot associations. But this one is really great. The artwork is gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous, especially the major arcana. And not only do you get the traditional, you know, it's not even traditional. It's just really kind of, it's a little bit Rider-Waite looking, but the color palette is gorgeous. Each card has a stone associated with it on the card with a picture of the stone at the very top with the title of the card and the name of the stone. And at the bottom of the card, instead of like a laundry list of meanings or something or a keyword or nothing at all, like most decks, there's an affirmation that's like a positive way of looking at the cards. Now, that doesn't mean that this card is, that this deck is, sugar-coated and fluffy and all these things that people say about, you know, cards that, you know, change, like have a lighter meaning sometimes to them associated with them in a particular deck creator's work. But let me give you an example. Like I just pulled the, I didn't really pull it. I just took out of the deck the Ten of Swords card. So in the Crystal Power Tarot deck by Jane Wallace, J-A-Y-N-E, you see the Ten of Swords at the top. It's associated with sugarlite as the stone, and you have a little photographic picture of the stone. And at the bottom, when we think of Ten of Swords, man, you know, that's kind of a card we don't always want to see come up, right? We think, oh my gosh, like, there's a guy laying there with ten swords sticking out of his back. He's been stabbed in the back. So maybe he's been betrayed. Or maybe, you know, this is the end of a very difficult, harsh kind of period in somebody's life. And it's just not a happy, you know, card necessarily. And the affirmation that they have associated with the Ten of Swords here is, I see the truth in this ending. So it's kind of like, it's not fluffy bunny and getting too far away from, you know, what we might consider the traditional meaning of the Ten of Swords, but it's almost saying, like, here's the benefit of it. If we can see it in that way, if we can say, okay, you know, I can see the truth in this ending, instead of being hurt by it or sad about it or feeling that, because there's swords, feeling like anguished, you know, swords are happening on the mental plane, we can say, okay, you know, now I see the truth in this ending. It is ending. And I think that's some of these affirmations at the bottom of these cards, I think are really healing in a sense and really helpful in giving us a different perspective when we have something like the Ten of Swords come up. So anyways, this deck has gotten a lot of like flack. You know, people will say, oh, it's pretty, I like the major arcana, but the pits aren't illustrated, meaning that the minor arcana don't have the illustrations that the Rider-Waite-Smith does. It is not a clone of the Rider-Waite-Smith. All the pips just have the suit emblem, either swords or cups or pentacles or wands. And, you know, you just have like the number of them. So the Ten of Swords, you really just in the card, you don't see the guy stabbed in the back. What you see are just ten swords there with a beautiful background of like stars reminding you that it's the air suit. And then you have that affirmation. And I think having the affirmation, having the crystal added to it, you know, I don't have a problem with it not trying to mimic the minor arcana of the Rider-Waite-Smith. So I think this deck deserves a lot more attention than it's getting. I will be doing a video for it, so I want you to look forward to that. I will be posting a link to that when I do it on our Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group, so you want to be sure to check that out as well. If you haven't joined, join our Facebook group, for goodness sakes. How many times do I have to ask you guys to do this? Just joking. Anyways, that is it for me today on There's a Rock for That. And just as a reminder, I want to give one more shout out to our sponsor, Movie Reviews and More, and iTube 247 out of Franklin, Tennessee. Check out Movie Reviews and More on YouTube. They have a great channel with all kinds of cool interviews by all kinds of people, some celebrities, and even a couple interviews with me. So, and in one of them, I talk about my tarot journey. I think I'll post that this weekend as well on the Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group, so you can find that easily. But in any event, if I didn't get to your call today, remember that we have other shows throughout the week, and they're all call-in shows where you can get your question answered, get your mini reading, and you can find all of our shows and show times listed by going to psychictalk.net/upcoming. I hope that all of you have an incredibly awesome weekend. And hey, it's August 1st. You know, let's celebrate a new month and hope that with this new month starting, that a lot of new wonderful opportunities will all come our way. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Oh,